Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Corinthians 13, 1-8a. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the verses 1-8a. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. My theme for reflection is love without the noise. Love without the noise. A friend once joked that modern life would be quieter if people talked less about love and practiced it more. We all laughed, but the laughter carried truth. In a world of endless I love yous on social media, love can feel noisy, more performance than presence. Yet in 1 Corinthians 13:1-8a, Paul cuts through the noise to show us that love is not a feeling to declare, but a discipline to live. The Corinthians, like many of us, were spiritually gifted but rationally poor. They could speak in tongues, prophesy and debate theology, but their church was fractured by pride and comparison. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul had celebrated their spiritual diversity, one body, many gifts. But then almost with a sigh, he adds, "And I will show you a still more excellent way. That way is love, the divine rhythm that holds the church together when everything else begins to unravel." Paul begins his poetic rebuke in the first person. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. The imagery is sharp. Without love, eloquence becomes noise, faith becomes arrogance, and even generosity becomes self-promotion. Love is not the background music to ministry, it is the melody. Paul then shifts from theory to texture. In verses 4 to 7, he does not define love as an idea, but as an action. Love is patient. It waits without resentment. Love is kind. It acts for another's good. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures. Every verb suggests motion, persistence, and commitment. Love for Paul is not a momentary emotion, but a lifelong apprenticeship in grace. Equally striking is what love does not do. It is not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. It does not demand its own way or keep a ledger of wrongs. These are not merely private attitudes, they are social toxins. Paul saw how these poisons had infected the Corinthian church, turning worship into competition and community into chaos. His prescription is radical simplicity. If love is not at the center, everything collapses into noise. Paul's insight is timeless. Across cultures today, we continue to confuse gifts with grace. In Africa, faith communities may equate spiritual power with divine favor. In the West, success and eloquence are often mistaken for blessing. Yet Paul insists that the true measure of maturity is not brilliance or zeal, but the quiet endurance of love. This love, he reminds us, never ends. Prophecies will cease, knowledge will fade, tongues will fall silent, love alone endures. Even faith and hope, those twin companions of Christian life, will one day give way when all is fulfilled. But love remains because love is eternal. It is the very nature of God. As Paul grows more introspective, he speaks of seeing in a mirror dimly. In Corinth, mirrors were made of polished metal, reflecting blurred and partial images. In this life, our understanding of God, of one another, even of ourselves remains incomplete. We love imperfectly because we know imperfectly. Yet one day, Paul says, we will see face to face. Love then is the practice of eternity begun in time, the one gift that anticipates heaven. Karl Rahner once wrote, in the evening of life, we will be judged by our love. That is Paul's point in different words. Whatever else we achieve, ministries, miracles, or mountains moved, without love it amounts to nothing. Love is both the foundation and the fulfillment of Christian life, the language of heaven spoken through human hearts. So the problem in Corinth and in our world is not a lack of gifts, but a lack of love. The resolution lies not in striving for superiority, but in surrendering to love's simplicity, patient, kind, humble, and enduring. Love is not sentimental weakness, it is spiritual strength. It is what remains when everything else fades. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, how do our personal or cultural definitions of success in faith sometimes distract us from the primacy of love? Number two, what does it mean for you to see dimly in your current relationships, and how might love bring clearer vision? And now our practical exercise for the day. Today, choose one person with whom your relationship feels strained or distant. Pray for them sincerely and reach out with a word or gesture of kindness. Let love do what words alone cannot. God of love, teach us to move beyond noise and into compassion. Where we boast, make us humble. Where we envy, make us grateful. Where we are impatient, teach us to wait. Let love be the first word on our lips and the last act of our day. Through Jesus Christ, who loved us to the end. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.